3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 198 of the Super Speedway podcast, recorded Tuesday, June 8th, 2021. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, how's it going on this fine Tuesday evening?
Ah, it's a fantastic Tuesday. It's been hotter than the Dickens outside, though, man. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I tried to run this afternoon, and I thought I was going to die. So, yeah, that's the only downside of what's going on right now. But everything else has been pretty good.
I didn't know what was going on Sunday. Like, I usually keep a pretty close eye on the weather.
Oh, man.
And I did not pay attention. And all of a sudden, I looked at my watch, and it's 91 degrees. It's like, holy crap.
I was at my brother's high school graduation ceremony on Sunday. And there was no shade to be found. It was as hot as you could possibly imagine standing out there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know if that was such a great idea, but that's what we did. So,
My boys had soccer on Sunday morning. So we were out in the sun Sunday morning, and it was hot, but it wasn't that bad. And by the time we got home, holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're in the middle of the Michigan heat wave right now, but it'll get better.
It'll be snowing next week.
Well, we'd be at MIS if I'm not mistaken this time of year, which the June race I remember going as a kid and we had to leave early because I got like heat sickness from being at that June race. So
yeah, that's why we never went to June. We went to both races. Hot. When we had to give one up, we gave up June because August was always so much more comfortable.
Yeah, man, June MIS. I'm probably not gonna miss. I mean, I missed the two dates already, but I don't miss June.
But I won't miss the July 4th weekend at Chicagoland either.
Oh yeah, yeah.
As much as I do, I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
God, when you're talking about freaking heat.
Oh man, yeah. When your shoes are melting to the asphalt,
yeah. I ruined a pair of shoes the first time at Chicagoland. That was pretty rough.
It was a rough Eric, day. Before we get started, I wanted to do. I didn't do this last week, but I wanted to do another edition of Show and Tell for the video viewers, and I wanted to show you my Show and Tell. So actually, I can't see my video, but I'll make sure that you can see it. I found this guy hanging out.
A little higher. Oh, nice.
A little higher. So this is Davey Allison. One of my, I guess I keep it on my shelf. I usually he's kind of tucked into the back, but I'm looking for stuff to like I want to show something that Eric might think is really cool. But this is the 1993 Davey Allison car.
Nice.
So I thought I'd bring some old school NASCAR out since we have a young hot rod dominating the sport. I thought I'd throw it back to another young hot rod dominating the sport back in the day, Davey Allison. So there you go.
I like it. I like
it. Some old school stuff.
That's awesome. I have that. I guarantee you I have that car and had that card, but it is not in the package and it is beat to crap.
Yeah, this one, the package was torn a little bit. So it's not like mint condition, but it's been sealed back down. So it's never actually been opened. It's actually sealed down the sides.
Yeah.
But it's got, I think it was a hand-me-down from somewhere, but it's securely still in there. So there's no chips on the paint or anything. But that's a cool car. I wanted to show you something for Show and Tell this week. So there you go.
I'm not a believer
show and tell action for the video viewers.
Right. I'm not a believer of the whole keep it in the box thing.
I've got a few in the box. I mean, my big diecast though are not in the box, which is weird. They're just sitting out for dust to pile on. So that's great.
I get that they're more valuable if they stay sealed, but I will never sell them.
Well, yeah, I had like two of everything, I think, as a kid. I mean, I went through a million Kyle Petty cars, but this Davey Allison car was one of probably 10 back then. So I've got a bunch of them in the box. I'm kind of looking around. I'll bring some more stuff out as we go along, but special for the video viewers to do a little show and tell.
There you go. Awesome. Awesome. Cool. I need to bring some show and tell to this one of these days
because I want to see some of your good stuff.
I have the Austin Dillon car, the Dow car right there in itself. It's almost within arm's reach right now. Autographed Austin Dillon. But out of arm's reach.
Next week, or maybe episode 200, maybe that's what I'll do is I'll show my autographed stuff.
Nice.
That I got. Maybe that'll be like a special 200th episode, which I can't believe we're going to be there here in another one here. But that'll be my plan. I'll get my autographed stuff out and show some of that. That'd be kind of cool.
I have a full-size checkered flag in my parents' garage that is autographed by a bunch of drivers. The first driver to autograph it, I'm pretty sure, was Derek Cope. And it was after the Daytona 500 win, not immediately after, but it was after the Daytona 500 win. But there are names such as Dale Earnhardt Jr. There is, I believe there's a Rusty Wallace on there. Oh, there's a Bill Elliott on there.
Yep.
One that there is not on there is Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a long story behind that. My parents were on a garage tour trying to get him to sign as he was climbing into his car, and he ignored him. And they hated Dale Earnhardt from that point on.
Hey, man, don't mess with the man in his office.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, all right. They took it personally.
Well, I'm sure that happened to quite a few people.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Well, James, we just came off a road course weekend. It was Toyota Save Mart 350 from Sonoma with the Cup Series this weekend and the Xfinity Series with Mid-Ohio as well. We'll talk about the Cup Series first. And I just put in the notes the first thing, just Kyle Larson.
Kyle Larson, yep. Yep.
It's
dominating.
It's, yeah, all three stages won.
Again, this week he won all the stages. Yeah. So he's, what's that, 130? Is it 130 points he's earned the last two races? He's maxed out. Yeah, he's maxed them all out. So
it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah. 62% of the laps led in this dominating victory. If you add his teammate Chase Elliott, Hendrick Kars led 76% of the race this weekend.
There you go. Yeah.
They were the only two drivers in double digits, James. And yep, finished Kurt first Busch, and second.
Kurt Busch tried as he might. He led eight, but yeah, it was never, I mean, it was a little bit in doubt with some of those restarts, but.
Well, and the thing is like, man, he threw the whole pit early strategy out the window and went for stage wins and had a fast enough car to make it work still.
Yeah, he was, and said he was not driving 100%, was like going easy. Ridiculous. Yeah.
I mean, and that's, you know, usually you go for the stage wins or you go for the race win. You don't do both.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm fully on board. I'm going to pull an Eric here. Cause I usually don't do this, but I am fully on board with you on getting rid of stages at the road courses.
Yes.
It sucks. It ruined it ruined so many of my days, in our picks and everything else. But, yeah, man, that sucked. The stages suck. It really ruins the strategy of the race.
There's so much interesting strategy in a road course already that now you ruin it with these stages.
Yeah.
Because the races are too short, the stages are too short. You know, if the stages, and it's going to be worse. We're going to go to Elkhart Lake in a couple weeks and, you know, your stage is going to be like 10 laps.
Yeah.
Yep. You know?
Yep. Indy's going to not be great either. Yeah. I don't like it. I wish we'd do away with stage points, or at least like, you know, don't throw the caution flag, let the stages, I don't know, give them stage points for certain periods of the race, but maybe we just keep it green. I don't know.
James, you know what? Whatever. I really love what stage racing has done to our sport. I think it's really helped a lot of tracks, but if NASCAR came out tomorrow and said, you know what, we're going traditional, we're going to get rid of stages, we'll keep the green white checker at the end, but that's it, I'd go, cool.
Yeah, that'd be fine with me. Yeah, I know. I like stage racing for the most part, but just the these road courses. You were on this from the very first, very first road course race. You said, you know, stage racing does not work. After we watched, I think it was the first Sonoma race that had stage racing. You were like, this does not work. I don't like this, and I was like, give it time. It's fine. I'm fully on your bandwagon now. It's terrible, but I mean, I guess it is what it is, and all the drivers have to deal with it. But it can go for all I care.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I think the majority of the races it makes the racing better. But again, I would give up those races that it makes better just to have the tradition back too. Yeah, not saying I'm advocating for that. I'm good with keeping them too.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'd like to get rid of them. Maybe that is a good compromise in the road courses, James. It's just we don't throw the caution for those ones.
Yeah, and maybe the new car, you know, maybe it does change some things down the road. I don't know, but I mean, stage racing is here to stay, and I don't have a problem with it most of the time. But like you said, though, it didn't affect Kyle Larson.
No,
Eric, I was super impressed. They showed the graphic during the broadcast of how hard he was charging the corners and braking.
Yeah,
and I was just like, my God, he's figured it out. Like he did the opposite of Chase Elliott and mm-hmm. just whooped him up.
He's beating the current road course king. Like,
well, that was my question. So if you had to pick one Hendrick driver at the next road course to save your life, would you go with Larson or would you go with Chase Elliott?
James, if I had to pick one Hendrick driver to save my life anywhere, I would pick Kyle Larson.
Yeah. He's on another level right now, man.
I feel for Chase because he went from top dog to now he's second fiddle.
Oh yeah. It's not even close right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to be looking over his shoulder thinking, oh man, we've brought in a monster here.
Right.
I feel like the last time this happened, I was trying to think about teams bringing in guys. And the only one I can really, there's only been two that I can really, really think of in recent years. Joey Logano to Penske. Remember how fast he was at the beginning? I thought, well, but he wasn't this.
Right.
The only person who was doing this a little bit was Kyle Busch to Gibbs.
Yeah,
where he jumped off the page that year. I think he won 8 races or something that first year with Gibbs. So Larson's got a
ways to go. If you want to go back in past, you could go to Ernie Irvin going to Robert Yates.
Yeah, he was kicking some butt that year. Yeah, that was only half a season, and I think he won 3 races towards the end of the year.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, it doesn't happen that often that it just clicks like this.
Yeah, he's on a whole other level of just everything, the car, the driver. You know, we praised him up last week after what he did, and he's dominated 2 races in a row now. And, you know, I saw a stat earlier today because we think about the 2 wins, but we also got to remember the 3 second place finishes beforehand. And one of those probably would have been a win at COTA,
right?
Had the rain not come at that certain time. But Kevin Harvick, remember a few weeks ago, I brought up that Larson's season was starting to look like Kevin Harvick in 2014. 2014 and 2015, Kevin Harvick, in between those 2 seasons, 8 straight first or second place finishes. And right now, Kyle Larson's got 5 straight. This is the last time that happened was 6 years ago now. So we are seeing that kind of speed, the championship level speed that Harvick had back then. And now we've got it with this 5 car that's just head and shoulders above everybody now. There's no doubt.
You know, Kyle Larson's getting a lot of credit, and rightfully so. I mean, we've seen what he's done in a dirt car.
Yeah, he deserves
off the track.
Yeah, and I think he deserves the most of the credit, but there's definitely credit to go around, I think.
I would say that I would be willing to almost split that credit. Maybe not half and half, but I guarantee you that this has a lot to do with putting Chad Knaus where he is too.
Yeah, yeah, and Cliff Daniels. And, I mean, the whole Hendrick organization is up now.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Johnson.
That's the thing. I think Chad Knaus moving into that role, I think, elevated all these teams and made this a powerhouse again.
Yep.
And again, not all the credit to Chad Knaus, but I think that was a big move in the Hendrick organization.
Yeah. And I have a controversial take here, too. The Hendrick Motorsports has upgraded 3 straight drivers out of their roster and brought in upgrades. They brought in 3 drivers that were better than the ones before. You've replaced Kane with Byron. You replaced Dylan Hart Jr. with Bowman, and you've replaced Jimmy Johnson with Larson. Those are 3 upgrades, and that's people are going to like that opinion. Yeah. But you've brought in younger, faster drivers with a team that is now has gone through the struggles with those guys, but has now elevated itself back up to an elite level. And you're seeing all 4 Hendrick drivers just kicking everybody's butt. They're world beaters now.
James, I mean, could you say 4? I mean, could you say Chase Elliott's an upgrade over Jeff Gordon at that point in his career too?
I mean, Jeff Gordon was racing for championships on the way out. So, long term.
Definitely long term. Yeah. But I mean, even Jeff was winding down still.
Yeah. But when Jeff left, that's the moment for Hendrick Motorsports. When Jeff Gordon left, the performance of that organization came down.
That's true. You're right.
Immediately. I mean, I know they won the championship the year after with Jimmy Johnson, but that was a fluke. Yeah, it wasn't a Jimmy Johnson type season that won that championship. That was just the greatness of Jimmy and Chad shining through one last time. But yeah, that team has now fully rebounded, come back. You think about it, Eric. You had Dale Jr. who was injured and... He came back for the fans one last time.
Yep.
Bring in a younger guy like Bowman, who's hungry. You got Kane, who just wasn't, Casey Kane was not in it anymore. Mm-hmm. And you've got a young, hungry William Byron. And now you've got a guy, you got Johnson, who's, you know, he's off to IndyCars. He was done. I know you come in with Kyle Larson, who's just hungry for redemption, I guess, if we want to call it that, whatever this is. He just wants to win races. He just wants to be fast and win races.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing.
Yeah, it's incredible what they've done over there.
Yep.
For sure.
It's the story of the season so far, in my opinion. It's the resurgence. I mean, coming off a championship season, you wouldn't say that this is a resurgent season. But, yeah, this is a whole different organization right now than what it's been.
Yep, I agree. Let's see. Not a whole lot. This wasn't a super eventful race, but I think it was a good race. There was definitely some interesting aspects of it. The racing was good. Just some things to note here. Martin Truex Jr. continues to be a powerhouse at road courses, gets his third place finish.
I mean, I had to fight for it and earned it. Yeah. I mean, definitely earned it. I thought maybe on a couple of restarts, he needed a long run. He just didn't get it. I thought maybe he could have got to second, but,
Joey Logano is becoming like Kyle Larson light.
Yeah, he's really like good here.
Secretly good everywhere that you just don't expect it. Yeah, I mean, that dirt win at Bristol impresses me still. He's run well on these road courses.
Yeah.
Not that any of us think Joey's a bad driver, but he's better than we think at some places.
Yeah, he's just hanging around. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you put him in Larson's car, he might do some damage.
Well, he's outperforming his equipment, I think, a little bit.
For sure.
Yeah, you know, I think Brad's probably performing with the equipment, where Joey's actually showing some signs of life here.
Well, Brad's just getting ready for what it's going to be like over at the Keselowski Roush Fenway Racing.
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah. He's getting adjusted.
That's where he'll be running from here on out.
Yeah.
Kurt Busch, sixth place finish for him for Ganassi. Actually, great day for Ganassi, period. Ross Chastain, who knew Ross Chastain's a road course driver? He's really good in these things.
Yeah, I have questions about how Ross Chastain held his position and after that caution, because he just kind of saw the opening and gunned it and kept going after the spin. I thought maybe he should have restarted in the back, but I had him on the bench on my fantasy team, and shame on me. I could have used him, but yeah, it was a great run for Ross. You know, all those guys in the top 10, I mean, solid runs. I mean, Eric Jones.
Yeah, I was going to say, just outside the top 10 and 11th.
Yeah, just another guy outperforming his equipment again.
And Suarez, I mean, Suarez moved up at least one extra spot with wrecking McDowell at the end.
Man, that McDowell thing cost me second in fantasy. Not to complain about fantasy like I always do, but I lost second place on that spin. It cost me like 28 points. I calculated. I was so upset. So anyway, we'll get to that later. Cody Ware made himself seen again with that ridiculous crash.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, hey, there's Cody Ware. I thought Ben Rhodes ran pretty respectfully. I'm trying to find, I mean, I know he didn't have a great finish, but I saw him up there. And then another guy who was running really good was Chase Briscoe, who, you know, he won the West Series race the day before. So he had a good weekend. I thought that was a solid run for him.
Yeah.
Tyler Reddick didn't get the finish that he could have had, but he had a great day too. Yep. Great day for him.
Yeah. He's another one that's been sneaky good on these road courses. If he can just put a full one together.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yep. Okay. William Byron has first top 11 finish since the Daytona road course because of that crash. He's been great too. We should throw that out there.
That win was Kyle Larson's ninth victory in 239 Cup Series races, his third victory and 11th top 10 finish in 2021. First victory at his home track at Sonoma Raceway.
Yeah, and people think like it's surprising that he finally got this win here, but he's always been fast at Sonoma. He's got three poles, Eric. During his Ganassi days. So this was a great, you know, just a great day for him, you know, all the way around. He's good here and proved it.
Yep. I agree. All right, let's head over to, let's head halfway across the country to Ohio. We had the B&L Transport 170 for the Xfinity Series at Mid Ohio, Sports Car Park. And, AJ Allmendinger overcomes the penalty at the end of stage two to get the victory, his second win of his career at Mid-Ohio. Mm-hmm. He won the first race in 2013 and gets the win here this weekend as well.
That was fun, man. It was a good race.
Mid-Ohio's a good track. Let's bring the cup cars there.
Yeah, they run, man, you know what I thought watching that too, Eric, is I know we were excited about the runoff at COTA. I think it maybe it's better without runoff.
Yeah. I don't know that I was that excited about runoff. Gives people a chance to save stuff, man. I know.
I know. It's kind of like the infield grass discussion. Like, I know we should put turf down and cars get ripped up, but unfortunately, Noah Gregson, he had his issues in the first turn of the race.
Stepped on my ding dong there.
Yeah, there he is. I just thought Sonoma's the same thing. There's not a lot of places to go there. So I just think it tightens the racing up a little bit. It was really good. Really, really good.
Yeah, it was definitely a good race. And you mentioned Noah Gregson, first turn, first lap, wrecks, rips the front end off of his car. Complete bummer, totally out of his control, just following the car ahead of him. And they got in the dirt and he hit the pothole there. And then Harrison Burton did it later.
Yeah. Both guys got taken right out of that race. Yep. And then, you know, one of the last restarts in the race was that Austin Cindric deal. He had a great race going. I think he wasn't as good as AJ, but when AJ had that penalty, I think he was probably licking his chops there because it was his race to lose.
What the hell do you take the outside going into that turn
He
for?
Said he screwed up. He at least he admitted that he screwed up.
Dude, you know AJ's going to go three wide, and now you're stuck out there in no man's land.
And kudos to Ty Gibbs, too, who, by the way, Ty Gibbs, I mean, that could be our next seven-timer because the way he's running, dude, he's that kid's legit. That
he is not bothered by the skill level of the drivers around him whatsoever.
He just drives and he drives the heck out of the race car.
Yeah.
So him sticking with Cindric on that restart really is the problem because I think Cindric thought he could take him. Mm-hmm. But Ty just learning throughout the day gave him a ride. And then of course, I mean, they both, you know, compared to AJ, AJ is the best in this. I mean, Austin's great, but AJ is the best.
He got that caution, I knew
it was trouble.
It was going to be tough for Cindric to hold him off. And then when Cindric went through the grass, it was over.
Yeah. He got slammed. I think it was one of the JR motorsports.
Yeah. A couple
cars.
Of them got together and sent him. Yeah. He was just collateral damage and somebody else's mess.
Yeah. He got hit real hard.
Yep. Where'd he end up? He ends up way back.
Yeah, he didn't have a good, did not have a good finish. He rallied, 14th. Actually. Yeah, he rallied because it could have been a lot worse. But yeah, led the most laps on the day. Won, finished second in stage one. And then I think he was like fifth or sixth in stage two. He had a good shot at it. I mean, he had a chance at it. But again, like you said, he screwed up. Shouldn't have taken the outside on that restart.
James, I consider myself a pretty knowledgeable NASCAR fan. Being a member of the sort of NASCAR media, I feel like I have some pretty good knowledge of stuff. Don't get too puzzled too often. But was I the only one that was just confused as crap for about half this race and how these pit stops worked?
Damn, I was confused too.
I get why they're doing it. It makes sense because they don't have the Cup crews are all out in Sonoma. At least when they used to race here at Mid-Ohio, the crews were in Michigan and they could get them back and forth a little easier. Yeah. But
I don't understand. Like NASCAR touts this as this isn't the minor leagues. This is the second, legit series in the country. And we're doing this on pit stops. I mean, come on. We can get guys. There's got to be a young crop of people that can come out there and pit these cars.
AJ Allmendinger gets a penalty because he didn't spend enough time on pit road. That's so goofy.
It's so dumb. It was so goofy. I didn't like it.
And then, so like I was listening to Sirius and Ty Gibbs, his pit stop, they were 0.6 seconds to the good.
Yeah.
0.6, James.
I don't understand.
It's frustrating. I mean, again, I get it. But there's got to be a better solution than this.
Yeah, it's not cool.
And then I was confused, like we have the brake or whatever, but you couldn't fuel and do tires at the same time. It's just so screwy.
Eric, wait till we get to the race that we're talking about from this weekend. That we're gonna if you think you're confused now.
Yeah, well, I didn't put any of that crap in the notes.
Good. I'm gonna try to ignore it. So
I was gonna go as far into this podcast as possible without mentioning what it is.
Well, we don't have to say what it is. Yeah. We just know there's a race this weekend.
There are. There's two races that matter this weekend, James. There's a truck race and an Xfinity race.
Yes. And then there's a third thing for a big track.
Well, yeah. There's a circus.
Yeah. Yep. That's what
it is. They'll put the tent up Sunday night and we'll have the circus.
Yep. Yes, we will.
Let's see. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that I really wanted to dig into on this. We mentioned Noah Gragson and Harrison Burton. Justin Allgaier has problems too. Finishes 35th. Trying to remember what the heck something broke. The transmission broke on it, right?
Yeah. They were behind the wall for mechanical.
Yeah. So bummer for him. Like you said, Ty Gibbs, great day. Brandon Jones runs a great race. Finishes fourth. Yeah.
Heck, Andy Lally, man.
Yeah.
Might be his last race of the season. He made it worth it.
Yeah. Get some sponsorship on that car so they can run again. Brandon Brown, sixth place finish. He continues to impress in the 68 car.
Yep.
Josh Berry finishes in eighth in the 31 car.
I know. Isn't that great?
Dude's got to have an Xfinity ride next year. Somebody's got to step up and sponsor him.
Yeah. I like what he's doing though. He's racing really well. Yeah. There's some really good, I mean, we're seeing, some really good young, I mean, Josh Berry's not that young,
right.
but you know, like there's some really talented guys in this series and we get to see it every week, you know?
I've for a long time, I've said the truck series is the best series in NASCAR. And I think that title has been taken over by the Xfinity series this season.
Yeah. Xfinity's been really good. Been really strong.
Yep. AJ Allmendinger's win is his, seventh victory in 40 Xfinity series races. Feels like he's raced more than that, but he has not.
Yeah, he's gone. You know, he had a stretch where he went up and down. The talk after the race with him was that they might run him part time in a college car next season. And I was screaming, no, bro, run him full time and get a playoff spot. No.
Yeah.
Because I think he might be, if you run him full time next year, I think he might be as close to a guaranteed playoff spot as anybody. If he's, you know, you get him on these road courses, he can win one of these things.
Yeah.
I mean, that would just make sense to me to get that exposure. I don't know why they wouldn't do that. I don't know. Seems like he'd be the right driver to start a team with if you got a one car team. I know they've got Justin Haley in there, and there's
politics. They've got all the cards on Justin Haley.
Yeah, I know there's politics involved.
He's got that Cup Series victory.
He does. That he does. Not gonna take away from him.
Ty Gibbs with his third place finish was the highest finishing rookie in this race.
Man, I can't talk. We already talked enough about Ty Gibbs, but man, it just impresses me every week.
Yep. Definitely. I agree. I'm trying to think. I think that pretty much covers that one.
Yeah. Fun road course weekend.
Yeah.
Two really good ones. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I still, you know, the dust and dirt at Sonoma, I'd really love to race that thing when the grass is green, but
yeah.
Sonoma's always a good show.
I felt like the carousel was, I don't know. It was fine to me.
I think it's funny that you brought that up because I was honestly just gonna say, you know, maybe I'd be all right to go with back with the old.
I still like the old layout better, but that carousel brought a little bit of the action. And with the restarts too.
Yeah.
The carousel made some action happen, but
it gives that one more good hard braking zone.
It does. Yeah.
I like so.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, let's talk some news, James. We got some news, some breaking news right before we recorded the podcast. I don't know why there's a bunch of numbers at the end of this, James.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what happened there.
Oops, and I'm messing it up in the notes. NASCAR issued rule changes for the Cup Series at Super Speedways upcoming.
Yep.
Basically, we got to do a new tapered spacer, reduce the horsepower a little bit again, and then removing the wicker from the rear spoiler. They have a reinforced roll bar that was previously optional behind the driver's compartment and near the rear wheel well, which is now mandatory for this race. All this in response to Joey Logano's flip at Talladega earlier this season. I don't see this. First of all, I don't think we're going to notice anything.
Well, the big news of this is the 7 to 10 miles an hour that they say the cars will slow down. NASCAR can say that all they want. These teams will find 7 to 10 miles an hour on track.
Yep.
They'll find some of it. They might not get all of it back, but they're going to find some of it.
Yeah. And if they don't get it back at the first race, they'll have it back by next year when we go to, car next year, but
yeah, this is a two race rule change. You know, Eric, this does affect the wild card season finale race.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little bit of a wrench into that plan. So it could be changing things a little bit. So I don't know. I mean, I think our guys who are good at Daytona are still going to rise up.
I agree.
And be there. But nevertheless, This change affects the playoffs twice. So,
yep. Yeah, it does. Pretty big, James. Pretty big. You know how you do a better job of keeping the cars on the track at Daytona and Talladega?
Don't run them.
Well, that you could do that, or you could get rid of the ride height rule, or put the ride height rule back in. It doesn't let the cars seal the track anymore.
Yeah.
And doesn't give them that much lift when they lift off. But I will say, James, that maybe this new car will be a good solution, because I think they're borrowing a lot from Formula One in the next gen car. And when Max Verstappen wrecked on the front stretch at 200 miles an hour this weekend in the Formula One race, that car stayed firmly planted to the track. It did not lift.
Yep.
And that's saying something. We've seen Indy cars go airborne when they get turned backwards, and Cup cars have done it for years.
Yep.
Formula One's got something figured out to keep them on the ground.
Yeah, Formula One, I mean, they've got the technology too. I mean, they've spent god awful amounts of money to make those cars what they do. So,
yep.
And that includes keeping Max Verstappen as a driver and not a pilot.
Right.
So, thank God. Thank God.
That's as someone who's most of his Formula One experience is from playing the game on PlayStation, that is a horrible, horrible place to wreck.
Yeah. That track's crazy. Yeah, I know it's been a big talk this week of that race, but that was a fun one.
Yeah.
Especially when Lewis Hamilton takes himself out, that makes it a little bit more exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun to see Lewis Hamilton struggling for once in his career.
Yeah. It's like where we're at with Jimmy. I mean, same thing. Guy's too good.
Exactly. Upcoming races that will have full grandstands, James: Daytona, Michigan, Talladega, Martinsville, Richmond, and Phoenix are among those.
We will see full grandstands. I am almost guaranteeing it, because people are coming out. Eric, that race at Mid-Ohio, there was a lot of people there. They were spread out, but it looked like a normal Xfinity Series race.
I was just talking about this during my day job today, that I wonder what COVID will do now to the spectator sports that were struggling for attendance. NFL was struggling for attendance, NBA, NHL, NASCAR, all of them were struggling. I guarantee you that these numbers are going to go up from what they were before COVID.
There's going to be a pop. Yeah, there's going to be a temporary pop, and then it'll probably come back down in a couple of years. But, people are going to want to get out.
Yeah.
Nashville
is sold out. Grandstands are sold out for Nashville.
Yep, 40,000, I think, there. So, very cool.
So, cool. Hendrick Motorsports announced this week that they took responsibility for Chip Ganassi's engine issues at Charlotte Motor Speedway. So we speculated last week that maybe Chip Ganassi was trying something. Hendrick says nope. So
that's strange, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Both cars had the same issue, but the other Hendrick cars didn't, and the RCR cars didn't. So I don't know. I feel like the supplier's doing them a solid there.
Yeah, but it seems a little fishy.
Yep.
Unless they've got the Joe Gibbs plan where they don't get the good equipment over there.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I still think it was not Hendrick's fault, but kudos on them for owning up to it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. We already talked about this a little bit, but
Kyle stepped on it.
Yeah. Kyle says that they'll have a full-time entry in the Cup Series next year. Likely another part-time entry. AJ Allmendinger could be the full-time driver. And AJ said that if he is the one chosen, he would be interested and willing, but he said he doesn't think it'll be him, and it's looking like it will be Justin Haley.
Yeah, there's a wink wink deal in place for Justin Haley to get up to the Cup Series. So that's what's gonna happen there. I don't know if we can do much more speculating on this podcast, but that's that's what is to be assumed. So
right. Matt DiBenedetto has a new crew chief starting this weekend. Jonathan Hassler will replace Greg Irwin atop the box after DiBenedetto has struggled throughout the season.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, this is one of those things, Eric. It may be what they need to see some more improvement, or it could be just a lateral move. We saw this with Jimmy Johnson a couple of years ago. After Canales, they switched crew chiefs midseason, and it didn't really do much. The only one that I can remember really was the Dale Jr. swap when they brought in Letarte. But I think that was at the beginning of the year, wasn't it, Eric? That was
the most successful
crew chief swap, I guess. But
I'm not real good at keeping track of crew chiefs.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. They move around quite a bit. They move around. They used to do. Remember when Richard Childress would, like, every five or so years, he'd get fed up and he'd just swap teams?
Yeah.
Like, the car numbers would stay the same, and then all the people around the cars would move. He even did that with drivers one time.
Right.
Like Richard moved, I think he moved Steve Park out of the 30 to the 31, something like that. It was,
yeah,
there was a lot of that stuff going on with Richard Childers. And then like Hendrick Motorsports in the playoffs, I remember the old Chase system. Remember that was a big deal.
Yeah.
People were really mad about that. That was the old system too, where Jeff Gordon still had a chance to win the title and they moved guys over to Johnson's team. And that was a thing. But yep. this is not that. This is not that. Greg Irwin's been around a long time though. Sorry, I keep interrupting. Yeah, yes.
No, you're good.
Yep.
I'm curious what's going to happen with Matt DiBenedetto, because obviously with the Brad Keselowski likely move coming, that opens up a ride at Penske, likely puts Austin Cindric in the two car or whatever that car becomes, and leaves an opening in this 21 car.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, I don't really know where else they're going to go other than Matt DiBenedetto, unless we go for someone like an Eric Jones or somebody like that.
Yeah.
But they need to get their stuff together, because right now it's not working.
Yeah. He hasn't raced his way into earning that seat.
No.
If anything, Matt had his chance a couple of years here, and it's time to go back down to whatever he, you know. I think it's time for somebody else to be in that seat at this point.
He performed, as much as I like Matt, he performed better in the team with the team that he was with before.
Yep. Oh yeah, he did. That 95 car was really good. For that, with that one season he was there. But yeah, it's a bummer. I mean, it's the Eric Jones thing, you know. Have a chance here, you do something with it. I think Eric was Eric had a little bit more potential at his stage in his career, but
yeah.
Again, yeah, it's, you know, Ford, the Ford Racing program has got a lot of good talent in there. Like you said, Cindric's one of those guys. So yeah, they can move some seats around. Haley Deegan.
Yeah, I was gonna say let's move Haley up next year.
Let's just do it right now. I was trying to catch you off guard while you were drinking.
No, I was already gonna make that comment, so it's funny.
Dang it.
We're really in sync tonight, James.
We're flying through it, so that's good. Yeah.
Jeff Gordon could be leaving the Fox booth at the end of this season. Of course, they only have one more race left for Fox.
Yeah.
With the All-Star race this weekend, but could switch over.
You said it.
Oh yeah, sorry. Damn it.
Dang it.
Edit that out. So now I lost my train of thought because I screwed up. Damn it, James.
This is Fox's last race, and Jeff Gordon. This could be Jeff Gordon's last race with Fox.
Yeah, exactly. So be curious to see what they do with this spot. If he does leave, he wants to move to focus a little bit more on Hendrick, and what better time to focus on Hendrick than when they're kicking everybody's ass?
Yeah.
And James, I love Jeff. Absolutely love Jeff. I think he's brought some stuff to the booth.
He was good. He was good his first couple of years.
Yeah, I don't think, and I don't know if he's not good right now because he's struggling, or if he's not good right now because Fox is just so awful.
Fox has been really bad, especially bad this year.
Well, you guys keep talking about Fox being bad, and I'm like,
it's always been bad. I don't notice
it anymore because it's so bad.
I know. Well, usually, you know how I watch the races. It's usually with the volume down, because I don't want to hear too much. But
I've been hearing that a lot lately from people, that they don't like all the talking, and I like the talking. Like I go to the race and I take my scanner and tune to the TV network so I can listen to them talk.
Yeah, I mean I'm always busy doing, I'm chasing these kids around and stuff, so the race is on, but it's, you know, I'm paying attention to what's on the screen and not really what's being said most of the time. But I had the race turned up Sunday, and I was just like, God dang, you guys are doing such a bad job this week. And I don't know if it's because of, I just noticed like Clint Bowyer's unprofessionalism really starting it. Don't get me wrong, here's the thing, like, feed into it, be that, do that. That's fine. I'm all for alternative broadcasts on things. I mean, Eric, I think it would be fun if you and I called a race, for example, you know,
that's my problem with the drivers only. I talked about last week is that the drivers only isn't goofy enough.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, if you're going to be goofy, be goofy, because you're not.
Careful. Like, careful. You have another Michael Waltrip.
I know. You didn't bring Clint Bowyer in to be Tony Romo. You know, that's the thing. Like, Tony Romo is the biggest thing in football because of how great he is on TV. Clint's not that. And honestly, Eric, with Jeff, when he first got out of the car, he's got some great knowledge on how these cars operate and things like that. But we're moving into the next gen now. maybe it's a good time. He's not going to have such an understanding of these cars. You know, it's going to be a completely different ball game for him calling these races. So maybe it is time for him to move into, and he was never going to be a long-term option at Fox. You know,
now he's always going back to over Hendrick. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be running Hendrick Motorsports until he's, you know, he's going to be Rick Hendrick for, you know, I'm so glad that he's going to be in that role because he's going to do a great job there. I'll miss him on the Fox broadcast. He's, you know, he's perfect. He did Eric. He came in and Jeff was always professional, you know, his whole career. That's the way he was. He was the most polished driver ever coming into the sport. So he never did lack the polish. So, he brought that with him to the booth, but
he might just be too professional for Fox's broadcast.
Well, with what they got with Clint now. Yeah.
Well, Joy's trying to feed into it too. And I'm going to start keeping a tally, James, of the drivers that Mike Joy calls by the wrong name because I notice it more and more every week. Yeah.
Well, he's got the Marv Albert thing going. I've noticed that Marv Albert for basketball is doing a lot of that too. But Eric, we got to make room for Kevin Harvick here in the next couple of years.
Right.
This is going to be his job when he's done. So,
yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, right? Harvick's going to
be next. Yeah, he's next, but he's not next year. He's going to race these next gen cars. I can't wait. I think Kevin Harvick in this role is going to do a fantastic job, especially with the knowledge of the next gen car. And, you know, having driven it for a season or two, however long he's going to run, I think he's going to do a great job in the booth. Eventually he'll be the next guy.
Yep. I agree. with that, I think that's all our news, James, unless something popped up.
I didn't see anything on the Twitter sphere, but, I can give her another check on the fly while we are still professional here. yeah, I think we're good, man.
Stuff likes to break on Tuesday night.
Larson got the pole for the race that we are trying to
name.
Shall not be named. So that's about it. Yeah, there's no more news. We're good, man.
Did you see NASCAR Chasm's tweet?
Which one?
It's about time something good happens for him. Something goes his way, is what he said.
Oh, no.
It's great. I retweeted it.
Oh, every once in a while, man.
I love NASCAR Chasm.
Yeah, remember you met him, right?
Yeah, we met him at Eldora.
Yep.
Yeah, we got to meet him in Orange Cone same day.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And Gluck. That's the one I met. Yeah, Gluck was the first time I had met.
Yeah.
Jeff, was the tweet up.
Yep.
Man, that picture pops up every year and it's just I can't believe how long it's been since you and I did that.
Speaking of Eldora, James, there's a slim chance. And I don't know what tickets are available for it still, so maybe there's less of a chance. But there's a slim chance that there may be a King's Royal in my family's future this year.
Oh wow, I like it.
We'll see.
You don't want to go to SRX in a couple weeks?
No, not going to SRX. But James, I mean, maybe I shouldn't put you on the spot here, but in October, by the way, which this is why we're thinking about Eldora, because in October, we were going to go take a weekend trip for the last two races of the All-Star Circuit of Champions at Fremont Speedway in Ohio, which is an awesome track.
Yep.
And my wife is not liking that idea because the boys would have to take a day off school, and she is very much against days off school.
Yes.
So I'm like, well, we could go to see the World of Outlaws at Eldora in the middle of the summer.
I've always wanted to do it. I mean, I've always wanted to go. So
I know. The next season, well, I was supposed to do the King's Royal and the truck race, and then NASCAR went and scheduled Kentucky the weekend before the weekend of the King's Royal, and it made a lot more sense to go just a little ways away and hit a cup race, a full racing weekend, and go to watch sprint cars. So, I did that for 2 years.
It's on my list of races I'd like to go to.
Well, see, this year you can go to the 38th annual and then the 37th annual immediately after. So it's 4 days of sprint car racing at Eldora because they're doing all their races from last year this year as well.
Yeah, the double royal. I love it.
Yep.
Yeah, you gotta love that. That's great.
Yeah. But anyway, this weekend, the NASCAR series, the two NASCAR series, the truck series and the Xfinity series, go to Texas Motor Speedway for a normal NASCAR weekend at Texas.
Yes.
The trucks kick it off with a Speedy Cash 220 doubleheader on Saturday for the trucks and Xfinity series. And James, I beat you this week again.
You did.
In the picks.
Because Austin Cindric spun and Martin Truex Jr. decided to not get his 9 stage points that he could have had.
Yeah, but I didn't beat you by enough because you are still ahead of me. 1433 to 1411. So I'm coming.
Yeah, it's one of the best parts about the way we're doing it this year is you get to keep, you know, you get to keep chipping away at it, and then eventually I'm going to have to chip away at it. So, yeah, it's it's good. It's good stuff.
I'm gonna take a couple swings this week.
I like
it. Truck Series, I get the first pick. James, and I'm just going to go with Sheldon Creed.
Took Sheldon Creed. Okay.
I got to take Sheldon Creed because the guy went and dominated at Charlotte a couple weeks ago, and he likely will do the same here if he doesn't wreck out. So I'm going with Sheldon.
So you took Sheldon Creed. I will rebuttal with John Hunter Nemechek because I'm allowed to take him. So that's so funny. We each took the other guy. We couldn't, you know, I can't take Creed. You can't take Nemechek. I'll take Nemechek. He's just going to be right there. I would have liked Creed in this spot more so than anything else, but that's okay. You got him. He's yours. Go get it.
Also Saturday, the Xfinity Series runs the Alsco Uniforms 250. Again, I get the first pick. I went back and forth on this one, James, but I'm going to die on this sword.
No.
And eventually Daniel Hemric is going to win one of these damn races.
I wanted him. yeah. The one race I really wanted him.
Same reason, because he ran so well at Charlotte and it got wrecked. So
son of a gun. You got
not him. That Charlotte and Texas are the same track, but they're both mile and a half, man.
Yep.
I'm making you scramble. That's what I need.
Yeah. Well, that's the best thing. You've got guys that I wanted. So darn it.
And you can't take Cindric. So
I know I can't take Cindric, and that's the pick I wanted. Darn it. So I will,
for the record, before you make your second pick, I almost went with Justin Allgaier.
Yeah.
Cause Allgaier is good here.
Well, and that's who, it's between him and another driver, and the other driver I just don't trust. So I'm going to take Allgaier, but I was heavily going to take Noah Gregson.
Yeah, Noah's a good pick unless he implodes.
No, I will. I was looking at Allgaier, so I will take Justin. I just feel like even if Noah beats him, I'll still feel like I've got a solid weekend with those with those picks. So
he's a good pick. He's good at Texas already, and he's running really well this season. So
yeah. So I think we were on the same wavelength there. But I really wanted to take Daniel Hemric from you, and you son of a gun, you got him. Because I think I'm with you. He's gonna eventually win one of these things.
He's got to.
Yeah.
He's got to.
I know. It's gotta happen eventually. So yep, we're falling into a little bit of a groove here with some of the guys we're picking. We're battling now, which is good. Yes. I like that.
Yes, we are. And then Sunday, James, at Texas Motor Speedway.
No picks, no points for us here. This is just for fun.
Yep. The tents come out. We kick things off at 6 p.m. Eastern time in Texas with the NASCAR All-Star Open. There's no point in making picks for this thing because three drivers are going to get in on their positions in the race, one with the fan vote. But I did want to make some notes here. There are five previous winners in the All-Star Open. They are Eric Almirola, Chris Buescher, Eric Jones, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and yes, don't forget, Justin Haley are all in the All-Star Open. Some other names that are worth looking into as potentially getting in. Tyler Reddick is in this, Chase Briscoe, Bubba Wallace, maybe Austin Cindric, maybe Ross Chastain, Daniel Suarez, and can't count out Cody Ware, Josh Balicki, or Garrett Smithley in the Rick Ware Racing cars because they might get in.
Yeah.
No doubt Bubba wins the fan vote if he doesn't race in, right?
Yeah, probably.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm thinking of who else could take it, but yeah, he's probably he's still pretty divisive, though. I don't know. I think he probably.
Bubba gets the fan vote. He's got MJ on his side.
Yeah, he does.
MJ. So he gets in, and then the rest of them get to race for it. So,
yep.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. This one usually is a good race. In the past, again, winners of each segment get in, and then the fan vote gets in at the end.
There's a lot of convoluted rules for everything. But yeah. This is the more simple part of it.
Yeah, that's the simple one. And then we go to the NASCAR All-Star Race at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox Sports 1. And James and I are going to make picks for this one because, well, we're just going to do that.
Yeah, just pick anybody. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, that's what I'm going to say, James. You're not going to pick the same driver as me. I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah.
Because I'm going a little out on a limb on this one, but I do have my reasons for it. That being said, if we pick the same driver, who cares? Because we're not competing on this one.
Yeah, yeah. This is fun.
I do want to look at, though, these stupid, ridiculous rules we've got for this race.
Oh, my God.
So it's a six-round race.
Go for it, Eric. If you want to read the rules, you go for it.
I'm on NASCAR.com, and I'm going to read what we've got. First of all, starting lineup set by random draw. It's already been set. Kyle Larson is on the pole, as James mentioned. Round number one, James, is 15 laps. After this round, the field will be inverted, starting anywhere from the 8th through 12th positions.
Oh, my God.
To be selected by random draw. Round two, 15 laps. The entire field will be inverted after this segment. Round three, 15 laps. Again, the field will be inverted, starting anywhere from the 8th through 12th positions to be selected by a random draw after this round. Round four, holy crap, it's just 15 laps, James, with no crap with it, but 15 laps. Round five, this is the part, this is where
everybody goes. A lot of restarts.
This is where, round five is where you go get your coffee break, get yourself something to eat, take a trip to the bathroom, because it's 30 laps, this one will be a snoozer. Lineup of this round will be determined by a cumulative finish from the first four rounds, with the best cumulative finisher starting from the pole. Any ties, any aggregate score, anytime you use the word aggregate in the explanation for the All-Star race, you know it's going to be a winner. Any ties in the aggregate score will be broken by, in order, most career All-Star wins, most career Cup Series points, race wins, or 2021 Cup Series driver standings. All cars must enter pit road for a mandatory four-tire pit stop during this round. I do like this part. The crew with the fastest pit stop will pocket $100,000. And then, if you happen to stay awake through all of that, and you haven't, your head hasn't exploded from confusion, we move on to round six, which is 10 laps. This is the only part of the race that actually matters. We pretty much could kill the rest of it and just run this, and everybody would be happy, and we would waste a lot less time on Sunday. The cars will line up according to their finishing position from the previous round for the final 10-lap segment.
Wow. You lost me on stage one there. So, wow. Just watch the race. Enjoy the cars going around the track, and whoever wins, wins.
There. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
That's what I'm
going to
say.
I'm going to enjoy the fact that there is only one Cup Series points-paying race at Texas this year.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
And with that, my pick for the NASCAR All-Star Race winner is Joey Logano.
Wow.
I'm going with Joey. I think this type of race suits Joey very well. He's an aggressive driver. He's going to go all out. Penske's going to throw some stuff at the car to try and get the win. And the only other choice that I could have possibly gone with is Kyle Busch. But I feel like being a fan, Kyle Busch fanboy by choosing him every All-Star race, because I'm pretty sure I have every time we've done this.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with Joey Logano.
Cool. Well, in honor of you, I'm going to take KFB.
There you go.
I'll take KFB, and I'm just doing it because I can. I have no rhyme or reason for it. He is good at Texas. That's about it.
It's pretty much going to come down to whoever's in the first two rows.
Kyle Larson will find a way to win.
It's going to be
faster than everybody else. Yep.
No, you know what Kyle Larson's going to do? He's going to win every single one of these stages, even with the inverts.
Yep, there you go. That'd be great.
One thing to note, this will be our first look, James, at the 510 horsepower package. As we are running the former Super Speedway tapered spacer, as now we have a new tapered spacer for Super Speedway. Jeez. Because we want to slow the cars down and make the racing suck a little bit more for the All-Star
race. If people are still listening and their eyes aren't glassed over, I mean, you can look. We're doing the video thing now, and I'm just staring down because I'm just like, oh my God, these rules, too many rules.
Is this the race that finally kills the All-Star race, James?
I don't know. It's still going to be around. People like that $1 million check.
Yeah.
NASCAR likes to pump it in there, so they get it, and NASCAR gets that extra weekend's worth of TV money that they would otherwise not get.
That is true. So, that is true. If you guys are upset about this, give a big thank you to Texas's own Eddie Gossage, who is
on his way out the door,
heading out with a bang, as you'd expect.
Yes,
by coming up with this cluster F of a race.
Wow. Yep. There you go. Swan song.
Yeah. James, how'd the fantasy league go this week? I know you don't want to talk about it.
I already mentioned my struggles, so I won't go back down that road. Team Draftona, he kicked everybody's butt. 251, fast to the grass, and our buddy Todd, top three. And then overall standings, Eric, you didn't do very well.
No.
That's fine. You did a little, not as, I mean, you were a little worse than me, but I mean, it was pretty close. And then Rangers.
Yeah, where am I at now? I've dropped.
You're not that far behind. I mean, you're only like 60 points behind me. I'm in fourth. And then Justin's in between us, Justin 713. He just keeps winning every week and he's just storming up the boards. But then top three. So Bird 8U is third, Fast to the Grass second. I mean, we're all like all of us all the way through, man, anybody from 10th to second could swap positions any weekend, honestly. And then Rangers way ahead at 3,200. So Rangers pretty much got the championship locked up at this point.
Right.
Everybody else is battling for second. So there you go. Fantasy update. My favorite part of the week. And I'm glad we don't have, there's no fantasy this week. So no fantasy update next week. Thank God. I don't think there's fantasy this week.
No, there shouldn't be. Not for the All-Star race.
Better not be. I'm going to double check that now that I'm thinking about it. Because just in case. There's no fantasy this week. We're good. Thank goodness.
Wow. James.
Yes.
I know you have a shout out this week.
I do.
If you don't, I'm going to steal it, but I know you do.
Well, we can do it together. We can do a tandem. I think.
No,
I
go
think
ahead. Go ahead. Because I got an alternate.
Yeah. I was just going to say congrats to our friend Derek Winter, who was on the podcast. Yep. He is going to sing the national anthem at the Arca race at Berlin in a couple of weeks here. So that's pretty cool. He actually gave us a heads up before we recorded with him a couple weeks ago that he was trying to do that. So it's cool that it went through. I'm really happy for him, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, totally awesome. Certainly not something I would ever do in a million
years. He's good too. He's a good singer, man. He's got some talent on the country pipes.
That's cool.
So he's good. Yep. That'd be cool.
So cool. Yeah, so congratulations to him. James, my shout out, I'm going to go with one that I've given before. It is The Iceberg on YouTube. Does a great job of reminding us of past races that were exciting that coincide with races that are upcoming. And this weekend he looks at the All-Star race. And James, do you remember the 2009 All-Star race?
Oh, do I?
I bet you do.
It's one of my favorites.
The Iceberg calls this one of the best All-Star races in history.
It was
especially
great.
Especially in the Car of Tomorrow era.
Yep.
James is a big fan of it, if you know James, because his boy Tony Stewart got the win.
It's more famous for one more thing, though. I bet you Iceberg covered it.
Refresh me, because now I don't remember.
The reason that we are in the era of double file restarts in NASCAR.
Oh, he didn't cover that.
Is because of the 2009 All-Star race.
That's right.
Yeah, I went to, it was a week after that race, or a couple weeks after that race, they ran double file at Pocono, and then Michigan was the next one.
Yeah.
And I remember that very fondly because that race was such a thrilling race. NASCAR had no choice. We started doing double file restarts after every caution after that race. So
just watching the highlights on the channel again, look up The Iceberg.
Yeah. I own that race on iTunes. I think I bought that race. Yeah. The whole thing.
The first stage was boring because Jimmy Johnson ran away with it. But then Jimmy Johnson had trouble, and that last stage, man, is incredible.
Yeah. It's great, just racing. Unbelievable. Yeah. Guys all over the place. Stewart chasing down Kenseth. Just an incredible race. Yeah. I remember
we haven't seen racing like that at Charlotte since probably 2009.
God, I think I know. And I think maybe not. Oh, you know what? Hold on, Eric.
Wait. We got some show and tell coming, I think.
Hold on. This is good. I'm so glad you brought this up as we are now a visual medium. Check this out. Look at that.
Nice.
I know it's a new, so for the audio medium, this is a newspaper clipping of that All-Star race.
That's funny.
Isn't that ridiculous?
That's so funny. So, you know, this is what I love about you, James, because like, I don't remember years very well. If you hit me up with some trivia from like 91 to 94, maybe I could probably pin some numbers down, but the 2000s are just a blur to me. They all blend together. And there is no way if you said to me, do you remember the 2009 All-Star race? I couldn't tell you. James, Kyle Busch won the All-Star race. I don't know what year he won the All-Star race. Not a clue.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head.
I can barely tell you the year that Kyle Larson won at Michigan when we were there to get his first win.
I believe
that wasn't that long ago.
I know. I think that was 2017. Yeah, you just So just so you know, too, like that 2007 through, gosh, I'd say probably 2014 was probably like I was such a nerd for every little detail at that time, because I don't know what it was.
Because that's when we met in that time period. Yeah, so that if we wouldn't have met during that time period, we wouldn't have connected like we did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's when I started working for the paper, and I noticed you had a NASCAR mug on your desk, and that was how it kind of,
which is so funny, because it had nothing. It wasn't even my mug. It just,
yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I think, too, back then I had a lot of downtime, which I just don't have anymore. We just don't have it. Right? But a lot of that downtime was spent in the NASCAR trenches. So yeah, it's just funny. I'm looking at this newspaper clipping written by Jennifer Eyer. I can't believe I'll hold up one more time. I know, isn't that ridiculous?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I got the results on the back side of this too. Yeah, Tony Stewart wins $1 million. Matt Kenseth was second, and then I cut it off at some point. But yeah, that's, I know, so cool. When you brought that up, I just laughed. I'm like, wait a second, I think I've got a clipping on the All-Star race. It was the first win for Stewart with Stewart Haas.
When I watch one of these iceberg videos and there's a Tony Stewart win, I will never give up the opportunity to check to see if you remember it.
Yeah, well, you got me the last time you did this. So, but what's funny is, like you said, I remember so many details about this race, like the double file restarts and stuff, because it's like burned in my mind.
That's funny.
Because they ran this race. I think I went to Eldora like 2 or 3 weeks after this for the very first time, to the very first prelude that I was going to go to, and then it rained out and I didn't get to see it until the fall. But yeah, that was a pretty cool time in my life as a NASCAR fan. I'm so glad you brought that up. It's just brought up so many cool memories.
Speaking of that, so we are on YouTube now. The show is on YouTube. If you look up Dream Bigger Media on YouTube, you can find the podcast. If you're listening to this through iTunes or Apple Music or whatever, we do have the video available. It's just our faces, so you probably don't want to watch it anyway. We get some views, so that's cool. But yeah. We got a couple new subscribers. Both of them are people that I know. One of them is James.
Yeah.
And because of that, though, I was clicking through the analytics today before the show, and I clicked on James's name and was able to pull up his YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
And stumbled across, there is a video of Tony Stewart qualifying for the prelude down there, which is pretty cool.
Yep. 2009. Yeah.
And then there's a NASCAR at Michigan video on there of the car tomorrow whipping by with the old wing at Michigan. So nice NASCAR flyby.
Yeah,
so.
I was trying to do some YouTube stuff back in the day. Yeah. I don't know why, but
yeah, don't look for Dream Bigger Media, but there is a YouTube channel out there with plenty of my crap on there too. But
I was on Dream Bigger Media a couple of times.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, you were. There's some NASCAR stuff on there. There is actually some decent video from the old iPhone of the it was Denny Hamlin and I forget who else racing in the line at Michigan photo finish in the Xfinity Series race.
Yep.
So cool. Yeah, and Kyle Larson's first win is on there as well.
Yep. And I think you and I went to an Xfinity race there too, where Kyle Busch kicked everybody's butt in the fog, if I'm not mistaken. So
I believe you might be correct.
Yep. I don't know. That's just I'm so glad you brought that up. That was a really fun divergence from the normal stuff. So
yeah, I'm glad. I like having those little surprises.
Yeah, that was good. That was a better surprise than my first one.
Yeah, I knew you'd do the Derek thing, so I figured I better have an alternate.
Well, I was going to say we could always share it because, friend of ours now, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. So
yeah, well, hey, yeah, I'm friends with them on Facebook. That's about the closest I get to being a friend with somebody. So.
Right.
With that, James, people want to hit you up on social media during the week. How can they do that?
Yeah, at James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. Now that we're doing this video thing, James, I'm trying to stretch this out a little bit more because I put titles up in the video with each of these things and I say go through it so fast.
Yeah,
I have to. The title only stays up for like a second.
Yes.
So I'm trying to stretch it out. And I think this is the professional way to do it, is to talk about exactly what I'm doing.
Yes.
Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. You can find old episodes of the podcast there. You can find links to the show notes, which have links to articles we discuss during the show. You can find past race coverage, photos, stuff like that there. Hopefully, James and I will be going to Michigan in a couple months and maybe have some new stuff up there. So watch for that. You can find the podcast on there as well. A bunch of the old episodes. They don't go all the way back to number one, but there's several there. And you can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you found it today. We hope you subscribe and continue to listen. And as I said, we are on YouTube as well. If you look for Dream Bigger Media on YouTube, you can find the podcast there. The episode usually goes up about a day later. It usually goes up Wednesday sometime on there. So you can check that out. As long as I can get to editing it quick enough. We do very little editing, but there's there's a little bit that has to be done.
Sometimes.
I have to wait for Final Cut Pro to export, which takes forever. And then YouTube's upload is really slow, or my upload is really slow. I don't know. Whatever. So check those out. Give us a watch. Hit the like button. Subscribe. Click the bell notification. All that crap that the YouTubers tell you to do. Do that for us as well. We'll be back next week. We'll talk about the All-Star Circus, the trucks in the Xfinity, and we'll preview, I believe now we'll preview Nashville Fairgrounds, or not Nashville Fairgrounds.
No, Nashville, not Nashville Fairgrounds. Nashville Super Speedway.
Nashville Super Speedway, which, by the way, James, they did announce this week that the winner will get a Gibson guitar.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, let's see what happens if Kyle Busch wins.
Exactly. That's where I was going to.
I was going to point out real quick. Nashville posted a video on their social media feeds of the, I can't remember the guy's name. I'm doing this off the cuff, so bear with me. Anyway, he is the facilities manager, and he's been there for 20 years. He was hired in 2001. So he's been continuously working on Nashville Super Speedway this entire time.
That's awesome.
And he's talking about the races coming back and how cool it's going to be. So that's a cool video. Seek that one out. That's really cool.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Not to dwell on this and stretch this out a little bit longer, but, and maybe we should save it for next week, but Kyle Busch got such a beating for that, and his reasoning for it was so good, but people hate Kyle Busch so much that he just, I mean, this was like the turning point. This turned Kyle Busch evil.
Because he ruined the late Sam Bass's artwork.
Yeah, but he just wanted to give each of his team members a piece of the trophy. It was a cool idea.
Yeah, that's what he says after the fact.
It did look pretty disrespectful, though.
It was pretty bad.
And you know it's a high-quality guitar when you can't break it.
That's what made it worse. Yeah. It didn't shatter.
All right, we'll be back next week to break it all down. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.